Welcome back to The Source here on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. At 36 years old, Cine Festival is the longest-running Latino film festival in the country. Began last Sunday, and the celebration of film begins last until Saturday, March 1st. And the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center is hosting the filmmakers and actors from across the country, showing off their work each night this week with accompanying panel discussions, in which the public is invited to attend. A couple of the films being screened is gaining attention. There are two documentaries. One of them is Las Martas, detailing Laredo's annual Society of Martha Washington's ball.
In those days, my mom sewed for the Martas, helped sew the dresses. The average gown costs around $15,000, but a few girls spend as much as $30,000 on the gown, and that's really a lot considering that the medium income in Laredo is around $40,000.
I guess you would call it a moment of coming to class consciousness when we found out the girls in our class that were going to dub the next year. They went to our Catholic high school. We played on the same sports teams. You know, we cheated off of each other's exams. I mean, we'd been with them in school for years, and all of a sudden it was kind of like they came out. You know what I mean? And that was a real sense of differentiation at that moment that I hadn't necessarily known before. You know, like, oh, that's them over there, and that's us over here, and they are of a different class.
Clip from the documentary Las Martas is going to premiere a show tonight at the Cine Festival tonight at 9 o'clock. Another documentary that they're screening this week is Ruben Salazar, Man in the Middle. It traces the life of the iconic journalist and martyr for the Chicano movement. And we're joined by Cristina Ibarra. She is the director of Las Martas. Phil Rodriguez, the director of Ruben Salazar, Man in the Middle. He's on the line. And Jim Mendiola joins us. He is a film producer himself, a director, and he is the organizer of the 2014 Cine Festival. So many people probably may have seen the Las Martas on PBS. It was on like a week ago or so. But this is an expanded version. There's more to it in this one. What's included?
Yeah, so what we're going to see tonight is a theatrical version, the director's cut. And this version will give you a little bit more backstory. You'll get to know the characters just a little bit more. There's just more time to experience the whole journey.
So Laredo, Texas, just 150 miles south of San Antonio on I-35, they have this huge blowout looking at the George Washington's birthday celebration. And some people find it interesting that Laredo, a border town where it's very Mexican-American dominated city, would go to such lengths to celebrate George Washington's birthday. You know, you go down to the Rio Grande Valley, it's Chato Days and other parts. You know, every city has their own thing. But Laredo, so why Laredo? Why George Washington's birthday? And that's kind of what you look at, right?
It is, yeah. So what I do is that I follow a couple of girls, a couple of the debutantes that are pretending. What they're doing is they're presenting characters from the American Revolution as part of this larger citywide celebration toward George Washington. And they do it through the Society of Martha Washington's Colonial Pageant and Ball. So, yeah, so I basically follow their coming-of-age journey and try to explore why in this territory that used to be Mexico are folks so interested in celebrating George Washington, who, symbolizes the United States and is, you know, the country that took over the lands.
And Philip Rodriguez, the director of Ruben Salazar, Man in the Middle. So Ruben Salazar was a journalist at the L.A. Times. And so can you tell us about the documentary you made about him, Philip?
Sure. I'm happy to be here, by the way. Thank you for having me. Ruben Salazar's story is kind of it's one of the foundational stories of the Chicano generation narrative. And I felt like the story was kind of incomplete and not really well rendered by that generation. And so took on the story effectively the story of a man, kind of a mid-century American man, a silent generation American, who had ingested the values of that generation, which were kind of stoicism and patience and kind of not sticking out, blending in, and nose to the grindstone, that bit. And in midlife, he's confronted with this new phenomenon, which is minority nationalism, and he's asked to reckon with it, and he's reckoning with it in public, in his work as a journalist. He's asked to cover the Chicano beat and try to, as a middle-aged man, try to understand the demands and the sensibilities of a generation, the baby boom generation, which is very different from his own. And in doing so, learns a great deal about who he is, I think, and also comes to a tragic ending.
So let's listen to a clip of Mr. Salazar as he's been interviewed, and then he kind of became radicalized, I guess you could say, as he started covering the Chicano movement in L.A., and here's what he had to say about that.
The Mexican-American in this country has been sold a bill of goods for so long that it has weakened him to the point of impotence. From the beginning, he was sold the idea that he was white. In other words, one of the boys. Well, hell, he's not one of the boys. In my estimation, he's not even white. It's easy for the establishment to say, aren't we all the same? Aren't we all Americans? Well, obviously we're not. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in the revolutionary process that we are in now.
And those are a couple of clips from the documentary, Man in the Middle, about Ruben Salazar. So, Philip, the thing about this document, you're talking about that how Ruben was killed during a riot, and he was hit in the chest with a tear gas canister fired by a sheriff's deputy while he was in a bar. And it's a tragic death and a tragic loss. And the question that you try to get at is whether or not this was intentional, if it could have been intentional, or the cover-up, or just this whole thing that came about through this loss of life, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Salazar death was a kind of a looming question in the minds of many Chicanos, many Mexican Americans, and many observers in general. It was rather suspicious event, and then the authorities of Los Angeles proceeded, in the minds of some, to whitewash it and to really not properly address the justice or injustice of the act in the court of law. And there was a kind of a show trial that the Los Angeles County put on TV about 14 days, well before the O.J. thing. They had Ruben Salazar's death was the nature of it and the cause of it was a big question that for many felt like it was unanswered. Part of the reason that many people felt dissatisfied with the powers portrayal of the event was that the sheriff's department and law enforcement authorities had been very reticent about releasing details. Here, some 40-some years later, after this tragic accident or murder, depending on your point of view, we sued the Los Angeles County Sheriff and forced him to release. We, with the help of MALDEF, and forced him to release the contents of these files. And out of these files, we made this movie. So effectively, this movie's made out of entirely new information and a new understanding of an important story in Mexican-American history.
Right, but the story is more than just about the death of Ruben Salazar, but it's about how he got to where he was at that point. And he does certainly seem to be an avatar for the awakening of a generation. We're going to continue the conversation as we talk about the Cine Festival happening this week at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center. We're talking with the directors of two fantastic documentaries, Las Martas and Ruben Salazar, Man in the Middle. When we come back from the break, we want to hear if you've got questions or comments or phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Currently at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, Cine Festival is ongoing. It's continuing. It started on Saturday, and it goes till Saturday, March 1st. A film tonight they're going to show is Las Martas, which looks at the George Washington's birthday celebration in Laredo. It screens tonight at 9 p.m. Another film that they have is the documentary Ruben Salazar, Man in the Middle. We've got the two documentary makers here with us. Also, Jim Mendiola, he is the director of the Cine Festival. So, Jim, as you put together the Cine Festival, and did you see these documentaries, and why did you say these had to be part of the festival?
I had been following Las Martas for a while, and I knew it was important to include in the festival because it's a regional story. It's about South Texas. And for San Antonio audiences in particular, there's a real strong parallel with the George Washington celebration and our own Fiesta Week. So it's sort of really apparent once you see it. You can kind of make your own conclusions. And then the Rubén Salazar story was really important because part of the mandate that we do is we show contemporary work, but we also show work that sort of reclaims the history that's forgotten. Rubén Salazar is a very important figure in Mexican-American Chicano history, but it's surprising how many people don't know who he is. So I think it's really important that, you know, people like Philip make these stories and kind of like flesh out American history and have these figures included in what's generally, you know, considered our history.
It seems like these two films are, they're very mature voices looking at issues, totally different, but kind of talking about the same things, about identity and conditional whiteness. We heard about the soundbite from Rubén Salazar talking about being one of the boys, you know. Are we seeing an elevation or a maturation of the filmmakers and documentary makers about this?
Yeah, I definitely think, I mean, basically there's documentaries and narrative films. And I really think Latino filmmakers are as good and, you know, as any documentary filmmakers. They're very strong. One of the mandates of our festival is to promote U.S. Latino filmmaking. You know, I'm really kind of tired of the conflation between Latin American and U.S. stuff in Hollywood where they will say, you know, yeah, we've got Latinos on the screen. Look at Antonio Banderas. So Antonio Banderas is from Spain. He's not from the United States and doesn't really reflect our history and the stories that aren't told. So that's why the U.S. Latino films are really important for me to present. And the documentary form has really taken off. We've got some strong narrative pieces in the festival this year, but it's sort of, I think, lagging behind a little bit in terms of quality in independent filmmaking.
So you made the comparison between Las Martas and this celebration that they have and Fiesta. I mean, finish that thought. I mean, how do you make that jump?
The dresses.
All wear dresses. Everyone's got big fancy dresses.
The spectacle is very familiar, but also sort of, you know, the, I don't even know what to call it, the absurdity and the unfairness, I guess, are just the discrepancy in who's allowed to celebrate and who's kind of, you know, put up as these queens and stuff. That's the part that's kind of, it kind of opens up a lot of questions that I think are useful to ask here in San Antonio.
So, Christina, you're from El Paso. What kind of celebration do they have out there? Do they have like a fiesta or Martha's or Chatel Days? What do they do?
There's a Thanksgiving parade.
Okay.
I mean, one of the things that I loved about this this event is how different it was from growing. Like, it reminded me of the differences, anyway, between growing up.
Well, you grew up on the border in El Paso.
Yeah, I grew up on the border in El Paso.
And so you come to Laredo and you see this event. And mm-hmm. So, and was it like, what?
It was definitely surprising. You know, learning that the debutantes were representing these figures was very surprising. And also the fact that everyone knew their names, that they were celebrities in the town. Everyone knew their families' names. And so I kind of felt like I needed to understand why. So, like, what really happens is from the outside, it kind of looks like this assimilationist ritual where people are just kind of, you know, wanting to take on this story that's kind of brought in. But if you really look at the layers of the way that the celebration unfolds, it's really like this very bicultural celebration that's actually kind of celebrating the bicultural aspect of identity and the multiplicity of identity. And I found that really fascinating that there was this difference between what I initially thought people were celebrating and what was really being celebrated underneath.
Our phone lines are open. If you've seen the George Washington's birthday celebration, you have some questions about it, want to comment, the number is 614-8980, 614-8980. If you're familiar with the work of Rubén Salazar from the documentary Man in the Middle, I'd love to hear from you also, 614-8980. So, Philip, was Rubén Salazar, was he a national figure, or was he just really confined to L.A.?
I think Jimmy hit on it earlier. These stories have been relegated to Hispanic History Month, and kind of seen these great, great American stories, like Christina's, have been relegated to kind of barrio scheduling and the idea that they're somehow ethnic, set aside, very regional-specific stories. But the story of Rubén Salazar is extraordinary. The story of an American journalist who is invented by kind of contemporary liberalism at its zenith, and then follows the path of a changing ethos in journalism. And, you know, it's a very rich story with the world folds into it. Ruben was a correspondent in Vietnam and Mexico City. He was L.A. Times, which was a very powerful enterprise at that point. Correspondent in Havana. The FBI is on his tail, is aware of his activities. An extensive file from U.S. intelligence on him. He becomes an enemy to law enforcement in Los Angeles by basically speaking truth to them, which had not really been done by journalists in Los Angeles at that point, much less minority journalists. So he makes himself an enemy of the state in a certain way, just by doing his job. So the story is big, and the story is American, and it deserves its place in the American narrative. And I think that what's happening here now, we're at a point at which, we're at this tipping point, the 2040 idea where whites will be no longer majoritarian. We've already achieved that in California here. And the idea that anyone can decide that a Latino story is not front and center will be corrected, and effectively that these stories are our collective stories, and its time will come, and whether it's now or later, it's inevitable. In order to be a fluent cultural American, these stories are vital for everybody.
Were there some people who were saying, let this go, let Ruben Salazar be confined to that period of the, you know, the 70s, and now let's move on? There's nothing good to be gained from this?
I think it's a good question. I think some of the resistance I got early on, I was trying to raise interest in the story. I tried to pitch this for PBS about 6 years, is that, again, it was regional, it's the past, we're done with civil rights. And I think that's a good point in a certain way, because I think the civil rights story had become kind of ossified and sanctified and boring. And I think that this story certainly is about, part of it takes place in the civil rights era. But I think we all owe ourselves a refreshing of that narrative. And this story certainly challenges some of those sacred ideas. Salazar is a much more difficult and complicated figure than the Chicano generation had made him out to be. A much more complicated and self-contradicting and struggling kind of identity, like most of us.
Sure. So, Christina, when you were making the film Las Martas, you're down embedded with the Debs down in Laredo. Were they aware that you were making a film that was taking a critical look at their values?
Well, what I was trying to do actually is create more of a coming-of-age perspective on the whole celebration. I was really interested in a young girl's perspective on everything.
And these are like 17-year-old girls, right?
They're 17 or 18.
It's really hard to kind of like, of course they're going to say kind of flippant, vapid kind of things, because that's what a 17-year-old girl does.
Well, it's a very vulnerable age for all of us, right? So we can all remember being at that age. And yeah, I mean, there are things that, like, one of our debutantes likes to say is, like, there are things that I wish I knew now that I didn't know when I was growing up, when I was going through the celebration. And I think, you know, and she's right. I mean, we all kind of experience that. But it was mostly because what was happening for me is that it was the gown that was the inspiration for this kind of, it was kind of the driving principle, the way the gown is built and the way that the young woman is carrying this legacy quite literally on her shoulders is very much the
digging into her skin.
It's digging into her skin. I mean, it is a burden in some ways, but it is definitely the perspective I was looking for.
Okay, I'm going to get a caller on the air. Our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Francisco has called in. Francisco, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I just want to let you know I'm a 12th generation Roman Catholic Tejana. And I'd like to address the elephant in the room, which is the classification of different social strata that the Spanish government established when they came to the Americas.
Yes,
and
go ahead.
After my mom's generation and her family, they were allowed to only marry distant cousins. It was that regulated and strict, and there's still remnants of that social strata classification, and I just wanted to know whether your guests would have any comments about that.
Right. I think that goes right to the heart. Great question of what we're talking about. Doesn't it? There's still the carryover of the distant Spanish land-grant families in Laredo. They're the families of the Debs. They're Spanish families, and they want to hang on to that heritage somehow.
Mm-hmm. What happens is in the celebration, when the debutantes get on stage, there are two biographies that are read. One is the biography of the person they're representing, and another is the history of the family in the society. And many times you can trace that lineage back to the founding of the town, which happens to be, you know, it's a Spanish settlement. Sometimes you can trace the family also to the Anglo fraternity that introduced the celebration. So there are these mixtures, but we are talking about this one type of person. I mean, they were the landowners.
Right. So this is goes into what you're talking about. And then also, Philip, we're really tight on time, but you're looking at, I mean, was there a moment where Ruben Salazar was radicalized? Not radicalized, I hate using that, but he definitely had a road to Damascus moment, right?
Yeah. I mean, we take some liberties dramatically with that idea in film, but certainly there was a change of consciousness across the board for all Americans, and certainly by no means was he the only one. I mean, the culture was reexamining itself and reinventing itself, and Rubens just got caught up in it.
And the words he says, I mean, they say echo today. They're still very relevant to the world we live in today and the changes that we're seeing in America. I want to thank you all for joining us. Cristina Ibarra, Las Martas, Philip Rodriguez, Ruben Salazar, Man in the Middle, Jim Mendiola, director of the 2014 Cine Festival at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center. I'm David Martin Davies. This is The Source. Thanks for tuning us in.